The boy was 12 years old, and he had zip ties on his wrists. He climbed out of a window at a house in Evans, Utah, on August 30th, 2023. 12 years old, malnourished, open wounds on his body that investigators would describe in court filings as consistent with severe ongoing abuse. He knocked on a neighbor's door. The neighbor opened it, and whatever she saw in the 30 seconds before she called 911 was enough to break the story open in a way that no amount of public relations expertise could reassemble. The boy was Russell Franca. His mother was Ruby Frank, who at the height of her influence had over 2 million YouTube subscribers. Her family channel was called 8 Passengers. The premise was simple. A devout Mormon family in Utah, 6 children, real parenting, hard lessons, faith, discipline. The brand was warm and relatable. The comment section was full of parents who said they wished they could be more like her. And in the house in Evans, on the day that Russell climbed out the window, his sister Abby, 10 years old, was found in a state that investigators described as severely malnourished, with similar wounds. Jody Hildebrandt was in the house. Ruby Frankie was in the house. What happened in the months and years between a family YouTube channel and a 12-year-old escaping through a window is a story about ideology and influence and the way a particular kind of belief system, dressed in the language of healing and spiritual growth and tough love, can justify anything if the person inside it is willing to let it. Ruby Frank launched 8 Passengers in 2015. She was a Utah mother, married to Kevin Frank, with 6 children, whose real names and faces became familiar to millions of strangers across the world. The channel's appeal was the combination of structure and warmth. Ruby presented herself as a parent who believed in natural consequences, in letting children experience difficulty rather than rescuing them from it, in discipline that built character. She was funny and relatable, and she had a gift for the camera. The subscriber count grew. Brand deals arrived. The comment section turned the family into something approaching minor celebrities in the YouTube parenting space. By 2021, the cracks in the public image had become visible enough that Ruby's own children began appearing on camera in ways that made some longtime viewers uncomfortable. Her son Chad, at 15, was publicly forced to sleep on a beanbag for 7 months after he had taken a school lunch without permission. The incident was addressed on camera, framed as a natural consequence. The comments section split. Some viewers cheered the tough love, others flagged the episode to Child Protective Services. An investigation was opened and closed. This is the detail that sits underneath everything that followed. The one that nobody in the YouTube parenting space fully reckoned with. After the arrest, Child Protective Services investigated the Frank household before Ruby's collaboration with Jody Hildebrandt had fully taken hold and the case was closed. What the investigation found, what threshold it applied, what documentation it produced, that record has remained more difficult to obtain than the eventual criminal case filings. What is not disputed is that the family was investigated, and that after the investigation closed, Ruby Frank's relationship with Jody Hildebrandt deepened significantly. Jody Hildebrandt ran a counseling business in Utah called Connections. She had a following of her own. Not the millions of the YouTube space, but a dedicated community of people who subscribed to her approach to mental health and relationship counseling. Her framework emphasized personal responsibility and what she described as truth-telling about harmful patterns of thought and behavior. She had a podcast. She had online courses. And in 2022, she and Ruby Frank launched a joint platform together, merging their audiences, combining their brands, presenting themselves as a complementary pair, the parenting personality and the mental health professional. The Connections framework, as it was applied inside the Franke household, is the part of the story that the criminal proceedings began to reveal and have not yet fully disclosed. What prosecutors established in their filings and in the guilty plea proceedings was that the approach that developed inside that house treated the children's hunger, physical comfort, and basic needs as tools of discipline, that withholding food and sleep and physical care was framed as spiritual correction, as the removal of sin, as necessary suffering for a child's soul. The language that Hildebrandt used in communications recovered by investigators was saturated with religious framing. The children were not being starved. They were being purified. Ruby Frankie did not resist this framing. The evidence established that she was an active participant in the abuse, not a passive bystander to someone else's ideology, but a committed executor of it. This is the hardest part of the case to reconcile with the public image. The woman who had presented herself for 8 years as a devoted, if strict, mother, who had argued in front of millions of viewers that tough love was real love, had arrived at a place where zip ties and malnourishment and open wounds were consistent with her understanding of what parenting meant. Russell's escape happened on a Wednesday afternoon. The neighbor who answered the door contacted Washington County Dispatch. Within hours, Ruby Frank and Jody Hildebrandt were in custody. Investigators who entered the Ivans' house documented what they found in photographs and forensic reports that were subsequently referenced in the criminal proceedings. Abby Frank was transported to a hospital. The conditions of both children at the time of their rescue were severe enough that prosecutors pursued felony child abuse charges, not misdemeanor. Not the kind of case that ends in treatment and counseling. Felony. 4 counts each. Ruby Frank pleaded guilty in December 2023 to 4 counts of aggravated child abuse. Each count carried a sentence of 1 to 15 years. The judge sentenced her to 4 consecutive terms, maximum possible under the plea structure, 60 years. What she will actually serve under Utah's parole system is subject to ongoing legal proceedings. Jody Hildebrandt also pleaded guilty to 4 counts of aggravated child abuse and received an equivalent sentence. The sentencing hearing produced a moment that circulated widely in the coverage afterward. Abby Frank, the 10-year-old who had been found in the Ivans' house on August 30th, submitted a victim impact statement. She was not present in the courtroom. Her statement was read by a victim advocate. It was addressed to her mother. The details of what it said have been partially reported and partially sealed, but what has been confirmed is that it asked a question that the sentencing judge cited in his remarks. The question was direct, and it was specific, and it was about a moment the child could identify by date and circumstance. A moment when she had tried to tell someone outside the household what was happening, and nothing had occurred. The moment Abby referenced was not the Wednesday in August when Russell climbed out the window. It was earlier. It was a different kind of reaching out, less dramatic, more easily overlooked. The kind of cry for help that gets filtered through the assumptions adults bring to children they believe are being well cared for. What the specific moment was, and who specifically received it and failed to respond, has not been fully established in the public record. But its existence, the fact that a 10-year-old girl believed she had tried, before the dramatic escape, to communicate something to someone, is the thread that pulls at everything else in this case. The 8 passengers of Ruby Frank's channel title were her family, herself, her husband Kevin, and their 6 children. By the time of the arrest in August 2023, that family had already been significantly fractured by what had preceded the criminal proceedings. Kevin Frank and Ruby had separated in 2022. The older Frankie children, who were no longer living in the household, had made public statements that ranged from defending their mother to expressing shock at the charges. The family, whose daily life had been documented in hundreds of YouTube videos across 8 years, had become, in the space of a Wednesday afternoon, the center of one of the most widely covered child abuse cases in the United States in that year. The YouTube channel was taken down. The Connections website was taken down. The podcasts were removed from their hosting platforms. The comment sections that had debated Ruby Frank's parenting philosophy for years, some defending her approach, some flagging it as harmful, some arguing that what she showed on camera was evidence of a larger problem, were gone. What remained was the criminal record and the questions that the criminal record raised, not just about the people who had been convicted, but about the system that had surrounded them. 2 million subscribers had watched Ruby Frank's family. Mental health professionals had engaged with Jody Hildebrandt's counseling framework through the Connections platform. The Child Protective Services investigation had been conducted and closed before the collaboration between the two women reached the point it reached. The YouTube algorithm had recommended the channel. The brand deal ecosystem had supported it financially, and on August 30, 2023, the people who mattered most in that entire architecture were two children in a house in Ivins, Utah, one of them 12 years old with zip ties on his wrists, making a decision that broke the whole thing open. The connections documents that investigators referenced in the proceedings, the internal framework materials, the communications between Hildebrandt and Franca, the records of what the counseling system said about children's needs and how those needs should be managed. These materials have been cited in court filings, but have not been released in full to the public as of the conclusion of the criminal proceedings. The question of what those documents actually say, what ideological architecture they reflect, and whether that architecture was understood as potentially harmful by anyone other than the investigators who reviewed it after the arrest. This question has not been publicly answered. Russell and Abby Frank recovered physically from the conditions in which they were found. Their subsequent lives have been, appropriately, shielded from further public disclosure. They are children. They did not choose to be born into a family that turned them into a brand, and they did not choose to be subjected to what was done to them. In the name of spiritual correction, the criminal proceedings gave them the designation of victims and gave the legal system a formal mechanism for acknowledging what had happened. What the legal system cannot do is answer the questions that remain about what would have happened if Russell had not found a window and a neighbor willing to open her door. Ruby Frankie, in her statement at sentencing, described the ideology that had governed her actions in the year before the arrest as something she had been deceived into believing. She did not name Jody Hildebrandt directly in those remarks, though the implication was present. The judge, in his response, acknowledged the complexity of how ideology functions in abuse cases, while declining to reduce the sentence on the basis of that complexity. The children's suffering had been real and documented and prolonged, and the law's response to that, he said, had to reflect that reality. The eight passengers of that channel title, a husband who was no longer in the household by the time of the arrest, six children, several of them adults by 2023, one of them 10 years old on a Wednesday in August, one of them 12 with zip ties on his wrists, and the knowledge that the window was the only way out. The neighbor who opened the door has never been publicly identified. She made a call to 911. She told investigators what she saw, and whatever she saw in those 30 seconds, whatever was in that 12-year-old boy's face and body and the way he stood at her door, was enough to know that everything she might have believed about the family in the house down the street was wrong. Was Ruby Frank a perpetrator who used ideology to justify what she wanted to do? Or a victim of an ideology that used her to perpetrate what it needed? That question has been the subject of discussion since the day of the arrest, and the criminal record answers only part of it.